Imagine being told exactly when the Messiah would come. Pastor Ray Bentley says the prophet Daniel had that experience.
The angel Gabriel said, "When you hear the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, Daniel, you can count exactly 483 years later, and the Messiah, the Prince, will come." Guess what was happening exactly 173,880 days later?
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. From the beginning, God's plan of redemption for man has included sending his Son again to redeem his children for all eternity. God knew exactly when Jesus would come the first time, and he knows exactly when his Son will return. Today, Pastor Ray shows us clues about that timing in prophetic scripture.
Let's open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 9. So imagine now, Gabriel the angel from the very presence of God is now going to reveal to 90-year-old man of God, Daniel, who is called greatly beloved, the future. And oh, what a future he reveals in these few verses. Now, Daniel knew that the prophet Jeremiah had prophesied exactly that you will be captives in Babylon 70 years. So by the time Daniel's 90, he said, "Okay, I'm 90, it's been 70 years. God, you said we would go home. You said we would return to our land. You said we would rebuild the city. You said that we would rebuild the temple. So I am now coming to you in prayer, asking you, Lord, what can we do in order to be your servants and to fulfill what you have promised?" And I have a feeling that because after the 70 years, Daniel knows, now, though he himself did not go back, I think he was too old, and he prayed for the younger people and the next generation and the young men and the young families, you know, that had the energy and the strength to go back home, and he would pray for them, connect with the new regime in that area on their behalf for the Jewish people and so forth. But I have a feeling that Daniel thought, okay, Jeremiah told us 70 years, we'll go back, we'll rebuild the temple, the Messiah will come. Now, it's the end of the 70 years, the kingdom will be established, and the glory that was lost with Solomon will be regained with the coming of the Messiah and the kingdom of God. That's what I think Daniel thought. 7 years happen, we're going back to Jerusalem, we'll build the temple, the Messiah will come, the kingdom will come, it's all done. So in that context, Gabriel comes to Daniel and says to him, "No, Daniel, the Messiah is not going to come now. The kingdom is not actually going to be established immediately. In fact, it's going to be not just 70 years now, but it's going to be 70 times 7 from now before all that happens." So we've got this 490 years. Now it gets very interesting in verse 25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince," see, that's what Daniel was waiting for. He's looking for the Messiah. Isn't it going to happen now? The 70 years are over. No, Daniel, it's going to be another 490 years. "Until the coming of the Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, and even in troublous times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince who is to come shall destroy the city of this and the sanctuary. At the end of it shall be with a flood, until the end of the war, desolations are determined." All right, now, how many of you are really lost? Well, let's talk about this. The first thing that he says there, to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, there shall be 7 weeks. And then he says, 62 weeks. All right, so you start with 7 times 7 is 49. He says that something is going to happen in those 49 years from now, something special is going to take place. At the end of that 49 years, then there will be 62 times 7, or 434 years later. And at the end of the 7 sevens, and the end of the 62 sevens, which is 483 years, if you're following the math, will come the Messiah. 483 years after what? The angel Gabriel said, when you hear the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, Daniel, which you will hear, you can count exactly 483 years later, and the Messiah, the Prince, will come. Well, this is interesting because you can actually go back into the record and you can begin to delve into the times and the seasons. If you take in the Jewish calendar, and in their calendar they have 30 days to the month, and you count out 483 years, it's exactly 173,880 days. 173,880 days. So here Daniel said, hey, an angel came to me, and he told me that the day you hear the commandment right here in Babylon to go and rebuild the city of Jerusalem, if you count 173,880 days from now, the Messiah will come. And if you go back, the day it was in, I believe, March 14th, 445 B.C., and you count 173,880 days later, guess what was happening exactly 173,880 days later? Jesus is sitting on a donkey on the top of a mountain going into what's called the triumphal entry. That day that he rode on the donkey was exactly 173,880 days after the going forth to rebuild Jerusalem in the days of the prophet Daniel. Exactly 483 years. The day that we call and celebrate as Palm Sunday, the week before Easter. That was the day, the prophesied day. It wasn't the day before, and it wasn't the day after. It was exactly pinpointed to that day. But then we read, look at verse 26. What happens at the, because we only got to 69 weeks, right? What happened? Verse 26 tells us. After the 62 weeks, and remember we already mentioned the 7 weeks. By the way, the 7 times 7, the 49 years, that's when the first rebuilding of the temple took place in the days of Nehemiah. But now, we come all the way down to the 62 plus the 7, you're at 69 weeks in verse 26. Messiah shall be cut off. Daniel is told by Gabriel the angel exactly the day the Messiah will come and reveal himself to the nation of Israel. But rather than being received, the angel Gabriel tells Daniel the Messiah will be cut off. Why? What did he do? What did he not do? He then goes on to say, but not for himself. Right there in verse 26, that's the cross. That's the cross. Cut off. The Messiah would be crucified. That's why Jesus wept, even though he arrived on the day, the appointed day, the day that everyone rejoice, but a week later there were many of them, not all of them, but some of them were saying, crucify him, crucify him, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war, desolations are determined. The prince that will come, I believe, is a reference to the Titus, the Roman, who came in 70 AD, destroyed Jerusalem again, destroyed the temple again, and I have personally been with my own eyes, with my own hands and feet, to the Temple Mount for the last 20-some years, going every other year to Israel, taking tours, and on the top of that mountain, where once the temple stood in the days of Jesus, it no longer stands. And you can look down and say, there's the stones that were thrown down by the Romans 2,000 years ago, and there's not one stone left on top of another, just as Jesus said, and that's why he wept. because he knew, having been rejected, having been cut off, but that not for himself. He died for the sins of the whole world, but he died for the sins of Daniel and for his people and the Jewish people. He was rejected by them at that time. But even that had been, God knew that this is what would happen. So the Romans come in and they destroy it. Now, verse 27, and we'll close with this. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolation. On the wing of abominations, he, the prince that shall come, will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. What's a week? 7 years. It's called the 70th week of Daniel. That 7 years is the 7 years of tribulation found in the book of Revelation. The first half, 3.5 years. The last half called, the last half of the 3.5 years called the Great Tribulation. But there's a gap, obviously, between the 69th week, when Jesus was crucified, and the 70th week. What happened in between the 69th and the 70th week? A mystery. God revealed a mystery. There's 400, you know, the 483 years are all consecutive. And then the Messiah is crucified. And then there's a gap. And the last 7 years have yet to happen. A gap so far that's been almost 2,000 years wide. In that gap between the 69th and 70th week, God revealed a mystery, and the mystery is called the church, the age of grace. And what's interesting is, from Abraham, who was 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, essentially you have salvation is the Jews and of the Jews and some Gentiles sprinkled in. And then from that time, the church is born, and quickly the Gentiles are outnumbering the Jewish people, but God saves a remnant while he saves among the nations all around the world. Now we're 2,000 years on the other side of that. In the end, as Paul said to the church in Ephesus, God will make of both Jew and Gentile one new man. And I believe that we're right about at that time where the Lord's getting ready to wrap all things up. There will come a prince. The prince who is to come will be from the revived Roman Empire. And I believe the prince to come is none other than the Antichrist. He is a Roman in the last days only in the sense that he is somehow over what once was the Roman Empire. He is the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 13, this man is called the Beast. Who is he really? He is a political leader who apparently in the last days, now in order for him to make a covenant with many nations, including Israel, there would have to be an Israel. There hasn't been an Israel for 2,000 years. So Daniel predicts that in order for the last 7 years, and by the way, what happens at the end of the 70th week? What happens at the full end of the 490 years? The kingdom of God comes from heaven to the earth, for everlasting, for all time. So what are we waiting for in order for this last 7 years to happen and to be revealed? Well, first of all, there has to be an Israel to make a covenant with many nations surrounding that. Then there has to be some kind of a revived Roman Empire. And here's what's interesting. In our generation, May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation again. Okay, so you have to have thy people, Daniel's people, the Jewish people, regathered in their homeland, controversy over the city of Jerusalem. Then you have to have some form of a revived Roman Empire. In 1950 was born what essentially Winston Churchill called the United States of Europe, what is now today called the European Union, that is made up of many nations that some generally are from that part of the world that once were the Roman Empire. Then there would have to arise a leader from Europe who would want to make a covenant with many nations that maybe are struggling with Israel in order, and again, now I'm throwing in something that Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, he will declare peace and safety. But when they say peace and safety, then shall come sudden destruction. here's what I would like to leave with you, and that is that there is an interesting thing that's happened. Now that we've got the revived, what appears to be this revived Roman Empire, there is a man, his name is Javier Solana, the high representative, not too long ago, of the European Union, which was created not too many years ago. But it's a very powerful position. And I'm just going to read his words. This is what he said. The launching of the Barcelona process was an integral part of Europe's response to the post-Cold War situation and to globalization. Now, listen to this. Here's where it starts getting interesting. It is true that the Barcelona process was born of the hopes of the Oslo peace talks. And clearly, the absence of peace between Israelis and Palestinians casts a shadow over our work. But Barcelona was about supporting the peace process, not supplanting it. Moreover, we Europeans have been working nonstop to promote a peace accord. We have long been by far the largest donor to the Palestinians. We are now also engaged in the diplomatic process through the quartet and in the area of security. When he mentions quartet, there are four nations that are working toward a roadmap to peace, which is actually apparently a lot of, you can read about it and get more details of the roadmap to peace in the Middle East. The four nations are the United States, Europe, Russia, China. So what Javier Solana is saying is that we, the Europeans, are now also engaged in the diplomatic process through the quartet. In other words, the United States is not alone trying to be the negotiator. Europe is now taking a more leading role in bringing about peace between Israel and her neighbors, and in the area of security. Many Mediterranean countries say that they want to advance on the path of political reform, but that it should be homegrown and that they need help. I agree. So I am pleased that the EU will launch a so-called governance facility. This will not be a cosmetic initiative, but one that, over 7 years, will offer several hundred million euros to those countries that are making the greatest efforts concerning governance reform. What he is saying there is that Europe has a mechanism that is a 7-year economic cycle for all the nations that surround the Mediterranean that want to be able to trade with Europe and their 450 million people. Israel has signed on to this 7-year process. They've said, yes, we want to be involved. We want Europe here. In fact, we'd like you to bring some of your police-keeping troops into Gaza to help us with the peace accord. And what Europe is hoping is that by giving favors economically, politically, helping police, keeping troops on the ground in Israel, being a buffer between the Palestinians and Israelis, helping to establish an Israeli state alongside of a Palestinian state, that through this, and it's all designed around a 7-year mechanism. Now, I suppose at the end of that 7 years, they will renegotiate, depending on how the countries participate and if they reduce terror and so forth. But here's what I leave you with this thought. We are now in a time where Europe, who is now saying we are taking a diplomatic and operational lead among the quartet of nations, United States, Europe, Russia, and China, since we are geographically closer to the Middle East, which is the trouble of the whole world, we are geographically closer than any of the rest of you guys, it is to our interests that we lead the process operationally, politically, around a 7-year benefit package of economic trade to bring a peace accord into the Middle East. So, for many years, people have been saying, well, okay, for all of this stuff to really happen, Israel would have to be regathered, Rome would have to be regathered, and then somehow you'd have to have some peace accord that is actually tied into something with 7 years, not 5 years, not 10 years, and we actually have it. There's only one last piece that will, I think, at some point turn a regular 7-year peace accord and among the nations of the Mediterranean, including Israel, into the 7 years that is the 70th week of Daniel and the 7 years of tribulation that Jesus referred to. The one last piece is the rebuilding of the temple. Do you know that they're already talking about that in the final, that's with the end game. First you start with dividing an Israel and a Palestine, and they share side by side. Then you go to Jerusalem and you say, look, Jerusalem cannot be owned by the Jews, it can't be owned by the Christians, it can't be owned by the Muslims, they have to share. All right? Take that kind of thinking to its logical conclusion. Do you know that tonight, on the Temple Mount right now, you know that golden dome, the Dome of the Rock, is there. Now, the Jews are not allowed to go up on the Temple Mount to worship or to pray or anything, and that's why they pray down at the little wall that's only a retaining wall. It's not a wall of the temple even from 2,000 years ago. It's a retaining wall way away from that, but they're not allowed to go up there. As a Christian, I can go up on the Temple Mount. I can bring my little tour and group up there, but I cannot open my Bible. I cannot lead out in singing and worshiping songs to Jesus. I cannot exercise my religion, my faith, my Christianity on the Temple Mount. Only Muslims are allowed to pray or to worship on top of that mountain. Here's what the Bible predicts is going to happen. If, as the world says, no, to be fair, we've got to split the land, divide it in half, Israel gets part and Palestinians get part and they figure out where they're going to put the borders and the, you know, they get that negotiated. Then they're going to say, okay, then you got to share Jerusalem. The east half of Jerusalem, the west half, and the Jewish quarter, Christian quarter, Muslim quarter. But then they'll get, finally, last of all, to the Temple Mount. And finally, when you bring this thinking to its logical conclusion, the last piece will be to say, if Muslims are allowed to worship on the Temple Mount, Christians should be allowed to worship on the Temple Mount, and Jews should be allowed to worship on the Temple Mount. How do Christians want to worship there? We just want to be able to open our Bible, give a Bible study, pray, sing. What will the Jews say? We want to build a temple. That's how we worship. And I believe that in the end, someone will come having to do with peace from Europe who will force them and say, look, you've got to allow for them to build a temple. And when you have a 7-year peace covenant among many nations with the allowing of the temple, you have the last piece to the puzzle, and then Jesus is really coming soon.
A glimpse of what's to come as we consider God's revelations in prophecy here on Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Glad you've joined us today for our studies in Daniel. And you can hear today's message on CD. It's a study called Redeem the Time. And we can send it to you for just $7. Contact us and mention the title, Redeem the Time. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Daniel on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Some people confuse astronomy, the study of celestial objects, with astrology, a system of divining the future based on the occult. Where one can bring you closer to our spiritual adversary, a study of the heavens can reveal things about God. And you'll find an example of that in Pastor Ray's new book called The Holy Land Key.
We believe the book of Job is the oldest book. And in Job chapter 38, Job is having a conversation where God is speaking to him, and God mentions the Maseroth. When you look it up, is basically the 12 constellations, what we call in Greek the zodiac. Most people think of the zodiac as, oh, astrology, stay away from that. In fact, before astrology came, there was God revealing himself through these 12 pictures. 12 is a number for God. And they point to the story of the gospel. It's fascinating.
Pastor Ray tells you more in the pages of his brand new book, The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. It's far too easy to miss the significant prophetic signs contained in God's creation, in stories of biblical characters, and in the lives and actions of today's Israelis and Palestinians. Well, Pastor Ray helps us unlock the insights, and he brings the puzzle pieces together. Let us send you a copy of The Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact in your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or connect on Twitter. He's at Ray Bentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Daniel. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.